and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review and a recording from the studio of WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is Daniel B. Copeland, author of Tried and True, A Primer on Sound Pedagogy. Dan, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Yeah, thanks, John.
What made you want to write a book on how to be a great teacher?
Well, I've been in teaching for almost three decades now, and I can remember back to the first couple of days, weeks, months as a teacher, and I just remember what it was like to be dropped into a classroom. You know, I had education classes and, you know, methodology, you know, technology, and everything related to the classroom, but yet still when I was dropped into the classroom, when I had my own classroom for the first time, I struggled, and I struggled to be able to make it not just to the end of the week, but to the end of the day. I mean, I couldn't wait for 3:30 to come at the end of the day. I remember what it was like being a first-year teacher and struggling, and I just wanted to, you know, draw from that experience and draw from the experiences that I've had since then in the classroom to be able to help others who are coming into the classroom.
So what did you learn? What makes a good teacher?
You'll often hear people say that, well, you know, teaching is an art, and it's unique, and great teachers are going to look different in the classroom, and that's absolutely the case. I remember, you know, starting out as a high school teacher, and you know, you quickly heard who the good teachers were, and I would look at teachers and I'd say, I'm nothing like that person in terms of personality, in terms of the way that that person engaged with the students, and I thought, I can't be that person. And so it's exactly true that each person in the classroom hopefully will eventually be able to take on the characteristics, the personality, you know, the gifts that they have been given and use them to great effect in the classroom. But that said, to a first-year teacher coming into the classroom, it's not very helpful to say, well, you'll figure it out. Well, you know, teaching is an art. Just rely on who you are. And so this book was meant to be a foundation upon which teachers could eventually build. So what I'm talking about in the book is sound pedagogy or good teaching. It's not great teaching, because I think great teaching is individual. And that's where you do draw on your strengths and your gifts and all of that. But we have to have a baseline. We have to start somewhere, and we have to give advice to these new teachers in the classroom of how to build upon just good, practical, you know, kinds of measures. If you know the elements of style, often known as Strunk and White, you know, in the elements of style, they do the same thing. They try to give kind of the basics of good composition, but never do they say that if you do everything in this book, you will be a great writer. Well, it's the same thing with Tried and True, and I tried to build off of that idea of just giving good sound principles that young teachers can rely on in the short term, and then actually over the course of the next few years, and hopefully over the course of their career, they'd be able to build to become that great teacher.
Like Strunk and White, your book, Tried and True, is short. It's about 100 pages, and it has 14 principles you outline, the makings of a good teacher. We can't walk through all of them, but give us an example of the kind of principle you write about in this book.
I told myself that I was going to write a book no longer than 100 pages. So 100 pages was the limit. And so, you know, teachers, especially young teachers coming into the classroom, they have a lot to get ready for in that first year. I wanted to keep it short. I wanted to give them quick advice that they could build upon. And so what I did was I tried to aim for about 10, and I went with 14. And they're basic principles that I call the 5 M's, which is, you know, they have to do with the core element of teaching. So it's keep track of the mission, right? You have to be able to manage, you know, the classroom. If you can't manage the classroom, you'll never get to content. And then the methodology. Here are practices of good teaching. Here's how to pose a question. Here's how to lead a discussion. Here's how to use wait time in the classroom to allow students to answer. And then the fourth M is materials. What kind of materials? What makes good materials in a classroom? And the last one is a measurement, the last M, which is pretty much assessment. How do you evaluate your students to make sure you know, they have learned what you have wanted to teach them. I often use this text when I do teacher training, and I start my discussion with this. I usually write the word covering and then teaching right next to each other, and then I write in between them the equal sign, and then I cross out the equal sign, and I say, as a teacher, you can't say, I've covered the material, therefore I've taught, because unless your students have learned, you haven't taught. So covering the material is not the same thing as teaching the material. And we start from there.
Teaching is ancient. It's an old, old profession. We've been doing it as long as there's been civilization, probably even before that, right? Why is quality teaching then so elusive?
In the last 100 years or so, we've gotten away from the core principles of not just good teaching, but good education. And education has gone in a wide variety of different directions. It's become overly technical, where if you do this, you will get this. And then it's been also, you know, a little too broad as well, in terms of, you know, we'll do whatever you want in the classroom. And so I think we've lost, again, in that the core principles, showing new teachers how to teach well, you know, the basics of good teaching, and then allowing them to build upon that and encouraging them to draw on who they are as an individual to be able, again, the main goal is to get your students to learn. And so use those gifts, use those talents to great effect in the classroom so that your students will learn.
Dan, you lead the education program here at Hillsdale College. So you have a lot of experience in the college classroom. You also have prior experience in high school classrooms. Who is this book for, though? What kind of teacher? Is it for kindergarten teachers or college professors or Sunday school teachers or homeschool parents? Who can benefit from Tried and True?
Well, when I wrote the book, I was mainly thinking about K-12 teachers, and I was mainly thinking about people who were coming into the profession for the first time. So it could be people who are a little bit older, who have never taught, who just need that advice. But most likely, it's going to be people coming out of their undergraduate experience who just want some clear picture about what good teaching looks like and how to do it. Now, that said, I think it can be useful also for people who have been in the teaching profession for quite some time. Like any activity, teaching lends itself to habits, and some of those habits are good. We need those habits in the classroom in order to make it through our school day. But some of the other habits we get into are not productive, and they can be counterproductive, actually. And so this is good also for a veteran teacher to read and to do a self-evaluation. Am I still at the core? Am I doing things that will lead to student success in the classroom? So I think it can be used for, you know, veteran teachers is in order to keep, you know, the text at under 100 pages. One of the things, you know, that I did intentionally was to eliminate a lot of the examples. And so what that does is it actually frees up, and I encourage in the introduction, I encourage teachers to read that and then examine their own classroom and see how these principles can be applied in the classroom. Of course, if I use this in professional development or if I use it in class, that's what we do in class, is we talk about examples. What would this look like in a third grade classroom? What would this look like in a middle school or a high school classroom? And so I think it can be applied to every level because these principles are true.
One more question, which is, how can our listeners obtain copies of Tried and True, A Primer on Sound Pedagogy? Because you can't find it in bookstores, you can't get it on Amazon. How can you get a copy of Tried and True?
I was very grateful that Hillsdale College Press was interested in the book, and they volunteered, you know, to publish it, and they were great to work with. And so as a result, the college has actually been selling the book through its own website, shop.hillsdale.edu. And if you do a web search, you can also just put in Tried and True Copeland, you know, the website available through the college. It should pop up on a web search.
The author is Daniel B. Copeland. The book is Tried and True, A Primer on Sound Pedagogy. Dan, thanks for joining us on The Bookmonger.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.